hope you enjoy this message from St. Martin C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Philippians 4, verse 4, just before we pray, says this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, man, we need that at the moment, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. We don't know how this is all going to pan out. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's our prayer today, to not be anxious, but to let the peace of God that transcends our understanding give us wisdom and guidance as we go through this crisis. Let's pray together. God, you know what we're going through, and you know the massive change that we've had to make in our lives over the last couple of weeks. And the anxiety we have about not knowing how long this will continue or what the impact of all this will be. And so we come to you, our Father, our God, our Sovereign King, and we pray that you would comfort us at this time, you would strengthen us at this time, that you, your peace would flood into every person's heart right now, and that you would guard our hearts, you would protect our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that we'd be able to go deeper in our relationship with you at this time. We'd make strong connections with each other. But most of all, we pray for our nation and we pray for our world. We pray that the doctors and the scientists would be able to get on top of this as quickly as possible. We pray for your healing and your life to be released. And we pray for a minimization of sickness and death. And we stand, as many of our brothers and sisters will be across the world today, and we pray your blessing and your life upon our world in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Cool. Thanks for praying together. I just need to do a wee shift here so I get my notes all ready and stuff like that. So, now for the message bit, which I hopefully won't be too long, but we can discuss that together. But as you'd appreciate, this is kind of new for me to do something like this online as well. In a couple of weeks, billions of people around the world will celebrate Easter. And for the first time in history, we're doing that in our own homes. We're not, we're not joining together. Like normally, think about that millions of people across the world would normally, you know, go to church at Easter time, and they're not going to do that because I think probably by then at least half the world will be in lockdown just as we are. And so we're going into this Easter season, you know, in a very different format, in a very different way, but it's still Easter. And as we approach Easter, let's consider that what we're really celebrating at Easter, what difference does it make? And in this series, last week, this week and next week, and probably at Easter time, the theme that we're looking at is how Easter is the hope of humanity. That really what we're celebrating at Easter is what we are putting our hope in, is the thing that makes the difference. So that's a series that we're on, and we're in this series because we want to internalize it in our hearts, but we also want to be really clear on that message so that we can share that life-saving message to the world around us. That at Easter, what we are celebrating is that God is real, that the God who created the universe is still alive and real, and he made himself known to us. And supremely, he made himself known to us in the events of Easter. In his death and his resurrection, he revealed who he was and what he really intended to do, which is to build a personal connection with each one of us, where we can come to know God personally, that we can be guaranteed the life that he has, that he always wanted us to have. So last week, what we looked at was how Easter is the hope of humanity, because in the events of Easter, we see that in trusting in what Christ has done for us, he forgave us our sin, he wiped the slate clean, and he brought us into freedom and life. And in that life that we have a guarantee of heaven when we die, which is an amazing thing when you think about it, isn't it? That we can experience the life of God here and now, and then we can experience that eternal life forever if we pass away, when we pass away. All our guilt and shame is removed. Our sin has been removed for us. And at the cross, what Jesus did is he imparted his goodness into us. He took our sin upon himself and he imparted his goodness into us. So the first thing that what we looked at last week, the first thing that hope that Jesus gives us is a freedom from sin. And we all needed that freedom. So that's the first thing. But here's the second thing that I want to look at this week. The second thing that the cross or that Easter gives us as the hope for humanity is that it reveals the love that God has for us. This incredible deep love. In 1 John 3 verse 16, not John 3:16, but 1 John 3:16, it says this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. 1 John 4 verse 10 says this. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And then in John 3:16, so the Gospel of John, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So you see in three verses here, they're all linking the death of Jesus, the death and resurrection of Jesus, what he did on the cross, to the love of God. And that we see the love of God expressed on the cross. We actually learn something about God when we look at the cross. Now that seems a little bit odd, doesn't it? But it's a very powerful truth. Because how would we have known what love is without the cross? How would we know how much God really loved us? Now we could look back in history and look at creation and go, well, creation shows us that God loves us. Well, not in a personal way. Yes, he created a beautiful world for us to live in, which is awesome, but it doesn't show that God personally loves each one of us. On Mount Sinai, when God revealed himself to Israel, he revealed that he was holy, and he wanted to connect with this nation of Israel, but a personal love? Yes, it's there, but not as obvious as when Jesus came. When Jesus came, he expressed the most clearest revelation that we could ever have of God. That God's not just our creator. He's not just powerful. He's not just holy. He is all of those things. But he personally loves every one of us. And that's supremely seen in the cross. And we would not have worked out what love is without the cross. When Jesus was teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, the Pharisees and the Jews thought they were the most moral nation on planet Earth at the time. They had a very high moral standard. And they thought, well, this is what love is. And Jesus had to correct them because he said, well, love your enemies. And they protested and said, well, that's crazy to love your enemies. But Jesus was showing a whole different way of love. And then he proved it by dying on the cross. 1 John 4 verse 15 says this. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. In other words, what John is saying here is that not only in the cross do we have freedom from sin, we get a revelation of who God is. We can actually know God a whole lot more than we used to because Jesus died on the cross. We see love expressed on the cross. Romans 5 verse 6 says this: "You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But verse 8, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, while we were still enemies of God, Christ died for us." That's an amazing truth. That God loves us so much that even he should have hated us, he should have judged us, he should have abandoned us, he didn't. Even though we mucked up and we pushed him away, he reached out to draw us back again by dying for us on the cross. The cross is the most supreme example of love that the world has ever known. And actually, without the cross, we would not know what true love is. Now, have a think about that statement, because I like your feedback on that, because that's quite a bold statement. Would the world have figured out what love is if Jesus didn't die on a cross? Have a think about that and play some feedback. You can put some questions up and we can start a bit of a chat on that one. So the question again is, without the cross, would we have really known what true love is? What real love is? Okay, have a think about that one and we might discuss it a bit at the end. But let's dig a little bit deeper into what this love is that God has for us. Here's the first thing that we see in these verses that we read, is that on the cross, the love that God reveals is a self-sacrificing love. It's a total, limitless giving of himself. He didn't have to. He didn't have to die on the cross. He chose to die on the cross. It's a choosing love. It's a self-sacrificing, limitless, unending love that's given for you and me. It's expressed really well in Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, which is often referred to as the love chapter, but and a love that we should be emulating. But let's listen to it again from the message of how this is expressing a God-like love. 1 Corinthians 13, in the message, it says this: "Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of sins, the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end." That's self-sacrificing love. That's the self-sacrificing love that took Jesus to the cross and is expressed in the cross. And imagine that. Imagine that someone can have that limitless love. It just kept giving. Giving to the point of giving all that God could give. That's real love. And that's a love that every one of us can rely on, even in a difficult time like COVID-19 crises. That God is there. that what we celebrate at Easter, the hope for humanity, is that God loves the world. We can be absolutely sure of it because God personally came and revealed how much he loves us to the world. It's an absolute anchor to our whole lives. So that's the first thing we see when we dig a bit deeper into God's love that's expressed or revealed in the cross, is it's a self-sacrificing, limitless love. Here's the second thing we see, is that it's a risky love. As we saw in Romans chapter 5, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Have a think about that. Have a think about someone who's your enemy or someone you're kind of offside with and you don't really want to connect with that much and probably enjoying a bit of isolation so you don't have to have anything to do with them. Now, imagine you pouring your love out on them at this time. Some of you would go, well, that would be crazy, Warren, because it may not be reciprocated. But that's what Jesus did. While we were his enemies, while we were sinners, while we, you know, were pushing God away, God reached out to us. He poured his life out for us with the risk that no one would respond. Now, as it turns out, a lot of the world doesn't. God loves them, but there's no reciprocation to that love. And in that way, it was a risky love. It was extremely risky, but God did it anyway. See, the opposite, let's look at the opposite of some of these things. See, the opposite of a self-sacrificing love is that you try and be measured by it. You kind of go, well, I'll give this much, but no further. I'll wait till I get love back before I give any more. Or a love that doesn't take risks, a measured, controlled love, can be manipulative, or it can be controlling. I'll love you if I get something back from this relationship. But God's love is not manipulative. It's not controlling. He's not forcing anyone to do anything. It's not measured. It just keeps giving. It just keeps giving and giving without limit. That's a love that I need, that you need, that the whole world needs revealed to them, that God's love is that sort of love. It's not a controlling, it's not a measured, it's not a finite love. It's a risky, self-sacrificing love. A few years ago, a song was released called Reckless Love. And I think when it came out, Rachel and I were talking about it, and she said, oh, do you like this song? And I said, well, I don't. I don't like the words. In our church, the worship leaders pass by the lyrics of the theology to our senior pastors to go, are you okay with this? And I said, no, I'm not okay with this song being sung in our church because I don't like that term, reckless love. Because I was interpreting that word reckless to be not thought through. And I thought if anyone had thought through their love, it's God. God had carefully thought through his love for us, his people. And he just gave himself to us, but in a very thought out way. The cross was planned. The cross was very intentional. There was nothing unplanned or not thought through about it. But that's only one definition of reckless. The other definition is taking a risk and not expecting anything in return. And then so I was thinking about it this week and I was going, actually I'm starting to, this song's growing on me now. And so it's actually the response song at the end of all our discussion today. I'd encourage you to listen to the song. The link will come up on this Facebook feed. And you can listen to it. And you'll hear in the chorus, it says that God's love is this limitless, never-ending, reckless love. But don't interpret that as a love that's not thought through. Interpret it as he took the risk to reach out to you and to love you even though you may not respond back to him. So there's two things. It's first of all a self-sacrificing love. Second of all, it's a risky love. Here's the third one. And it's seen in the cross of Christ in this, that God's love on the cross, it cost him something. He had to humble himself. He couldn't stay in heaven and be God and kind of shout at us from heaven and go, hey, I love you and you need to love me. No, he completely humiliated himself. He made himself completely known. He didn't hold back who he was. There was no withholding on the cross. It was total sacrifice, total giving. And in the world that we live in, and every relationship we have, even the closest of relationships, we can't help but withhold a little bit. We don't totally share everything of ourselves because it would just be too vulnerable. But think about this. God has been completely vulnerable with you. He has completely sacrificed himself to make himself known to you so that you could know all of him. So I hope that gives you some insight into the love that's revealed in the cross. That it's a self-sacrificing love, it's a risky love, it's a vulnerable love. It's amazing that we have this revelation now of what the love of God is. And you may want to feedback on some of that. So hey, at the end of this, when you post some questions and want to chat, you know, have a think about this. Is that a fair definition of the love that's revealed in Christ and on the cross? Or do you see something more? Or do you disagree with some of those comments that I've made or descriptions I've given you about the love that God has for us? Now, obviously, the connection that many of us will make is, okay, if that's the way God loves us, and as we read earlier in 1 John 4, that's the love that we're to have with each other, well, are we meant to do that? Are we meant to have this self-sacrificing, risky, unhindered, no withholding, totally vulnerable love for each other? Well, yes and no. Now, that might sound a wee bit controversial, and again, we can discuss this a little bit more, but yes. Absolutely, we should be emulating and copying the love that God has for us, because that's a love, that's true love, that will build our connections with others and will truly satisfy us and truly bring love and connection to other people. So in that sense, absolutely yes, let's do whatever we can. But in another sense, no. And here's why there's a no, in that God has a limitless capacity. We don't. We're not God. We can't just forever be giving out love to other people and not get anything in return. God has the capacity to do that. We don't. And so you may be in a relationship or in a situation where you go, I've just given so much and I'm not getting anything back. Well, the first thing that I'd encourage you to do is tap into the source of eternal love, the eternal love that comes from God that'll never run dry, rather than looking just to other people to satisfy that deep need that you have for love in your heart. And then as you source that, it will give you a greater capacity to extend that love to others. But also appreciate that there is a limit, that we can't just give without limit, because we're finite. Well, in this life anyway. Maybe we can, when we get to heaven and we're perfected and glorified, we can give love without holding back at all. But that, it still doesn't change the truth that the type of love that we should give each other is expressed here in what Jesus did for us on the cross. Okay, so here's a couple of questions or thoughts that I want you to ponder on today before we discuss them together. Has this changed the way you think about the cross? or has it changed the way that you think about God's love? And what do you think about God making himself vulnerable to us? By the way, what I mean by that is not that God is vulnerable in his nature, because he's not. He is self-sufficient in his nature, but he chose to become vulnerable. Isn't that amazing that someone who didn't need to be vulnerable has chosen to make himself vulnerable? So there's a whole lot there to think about. I'm going to pray, and then I'll stay online for a little bit, and I'll read your comments and things like that, and I'll see if I can respond to some of them. Okay, let's pray. God, you're so amazing, and your love is beyond what we can comprehend. That you in your nature and in your life and in the relationship that you had didn't need to give of yourself for a humanity that had turned its back on you and sinned and gone its own way. But Lord, you gave yourself limitlessly, sacrificially, with vulnerability, with no holding back, in a reckless way. You gave yourself on the cross to us. And Lord, I pray as we look to Easter and appreciate the cross and all that it means again, that we'd internalize that love, and that love would build up a greater capacity in every one of us, and we would experience your love in a fresh and living and real experiential way. And as we do that, we'd be able to share that love with those around us. God, fill us with your love today. Fill us with an appreciation of your love and how enormous that love is. May it satisfy the deep longings in our hearts today. Lord, we thank you for the cross, and we thank you for the love expressed in the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.